Congressman Richie Neal, my congressman, I guess I always rely on you to sort of parse difficult situations. So now, as we speak, we have Bernie and we have Hillary in your party, and they are going, you know, at it. Bernie's been winning a lot of primaries, I think because people admire his philosophy. But then there's this business about he's a socialist, he's not a Democrat. What do you make of all of that?
Well, I think that on one hand, he's done a very good job of invigorating the base of the Democratic Party and calling attention to a series of issues. And at the same time, I think that one can argue that the patterns that were established very early on in the primary season on the Democratic side have pretty much held. And that is where there are primaries and independents can vote in the Democratic primary, he's done very well. In a primary that is noted as closed, where only Democrats can vote, she wins. And she wins by substantial numbers. In the caucus states, where it calls for the real believers, I think, to show up and sometimes sit for a considerable period of time, he's also done very well. And I think that the difficulty that it has created now is that her negatives have gone up. And part of the reason that her negatives have gone up is because of the attacks that have been offered from Senator Sanders. And I think that usually what happens is that once the campaign season in terms of electioneering comes to a close and we move on to the general election, there's room for greater unity. But there's a great deal of volatility in this election cycle. And you're seeing the candidates on the Republican side, they attempted to pull their party considerably right. And Donald Trump simultaneously said a series of things that were probably very disconcerting to the hard right in America when he suggested he would raise the minimum wage, close the carried interest loophole, protect Social Security, protect Medicare, and that he would tax upper-income people. And I think that you're seeing these patterns beginning to emerge where he's doing better with the working class on the Republican side than heretofore we would have anticipated. And I think part of it can be ascribed to really what has been just okay economic growth. And those are the very people who have been facing higher college bills and increases in their cost of living. But really, incomes in America have not gone up now for more than 12 years. So I think that that contributes to the kind of combustible atmosphere that we find ourselves in.
In both Bernie's case and Trump's case, right?
Exactly right. In fact, I can go so far as to say the people at the rallies, in some cases, look an awful lot alike.
So I want to ask you this. Can Trump win this?
Well, I'm not going to understate based upon the fact that if you and I were having this conversation 11 months ago, we would have both concluded that he was not going to win the nomination.
Absolutely.
And I think that he has scratched some emotions with the American people. And during the primary season, he generally was locked in at about 33%. And then the number began to go up simultaneously on the same day in Massachusetts and Mississippi, where he garnered almost 50% of the vote in those respective primaries. And I think all of a sudden, you look at the states that are winnable and where we used to do okay in the old Confederacy when I first came to Congress. In the last 6 years, we were down to Arkansas and to West Virginia, and it is now unlikely that we can win either one of those. Mm-hmm. But I think that many of the positions that Trump has taken probably mean that we're in pretty competitive spots in places like Colorado and Nevada and Virginia. So I think that you can see the map. It's very similar to the one that Barack Obama won in. And at the same time, I also think that New Hampshire probably plays to our benefit. And even though there were four electoral votes there, those were all the votes in the world when Bush beat Kerry, I can tell you that.
So let me ask you this. What do you think Sanders' obligation, that's a tough word, but what do you think his obligation now that he's in it? He's declared himself a Democrat. He was a socialist before, an independent. Do you think he owes it to the Democratic Party to reconcile at some point?
Well, I think he will reconcile. I think that's the key. But at the same time, I also think that there is oftentimes in American politics a difference between electioneering and governing. And I think those who tend to do well in one oftentimes tend not to do well in the other. And I think that the key would be similar to Bill Clinton, in the sense that he was very good at the electioneering, and I think most people would give him pretty good marks for the governing side of it as well. And I think, you, in fairness, you'd have to say Reagan had some of those abilities. And I think that it would be an individual like Senator Sanders, who has demonstrated some electioneering skill, to also point out, I think, some of the things that she could do in terms of governing that would be very helpful. And my sense is that, as one who has tried to master both tenets of politics, I think that governing is oftentimes a very separate skill set.
We don't know who's going to turn out. Isn't that part of the problem? Because, as you say, Trump has made a connection with working class folks, perhaps Republicans and Democrats. Traditionally, their voting patterns, little over or under half the potential voters vote. The New York Times, I know I'm going on too long here, Richie, but the New York Times had four scenarios, three of which Hillary won. And the last one, which I found fascinating, was that Trump would win. And that was because more people came out to vote for him. So I'm wondering whether this is a little scary.
Well, he certainly has aroused emotions. I don't think there's much point in debating that. But simultaneously, I think the ability that he's had to say something on one day and then change it the next also ought to be a point of contesting. So I think that she'll have a chance. I mean, nobody who has watched this campaign, like or dislike Hillary Clinton, walks away saying that she's not substantive. The difficulty is, in a presidential cycle, that likability becomes a very important consideration. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is going to be part of the narrative as we go into the fall. And I must tell you, I think that the idea that we would be promoting that, well, I'm more likable than the other one, is not helpful to the whole notion of governance.
Right. Now, what do you think is up next in terms of strategy?
Well, it's very clear. She's attempted now for weeks, if not months. And I will tell you that I think that the Massachusetts primary was very pivotal, because she was allowed to, I talked to her right after that, and she was able to use the argument that Senator Sanders should have won in Massachusetts. And I think that the pattern that we've been able to discern is that, again, she does very well with African-Americans, she does very well with Hispanics, and she does very well with college-educated women. And I think for Senator Sanders, he does very well with white liberals. And I think that in those states, as is likely to be the case, even as we go forward, those patterns have held pretty strongly.
So right now, there's a lot of thought that the Democrats could take the Senate and do much better in the House than they've been doing, if not win, although nobody that I talk to really thinks that they can win the House. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't think we're ready to conclude that this is a wave election, and you would need a wave for the House to be swept back into Democratic hands. You'd have to win 30 seats in the House, and given reapportionment, and by the way, again, the volatility of this electioneering season, I think that that becomes a rather steep climb.
And the Senate?
I think the Senate's up for grabs, and I think it's likely that the Senate could move, but I want to tell you this, with all due certainty, I don't see how you get past 52, and the best scenario.
So it will, in any circumstances, be close. The governing process would still potentially be all, you know, jumbled up.
I could see a 4 more years of the intransigence that the base of the two parties have offered up, yes.
It's great to talk to our friend Richie Neal. We come back the next time, Richie. I'll ask you all kinds of other questions, okay?
Happy to do it, and thank you, Alan.